Hey guys, it's your host once again, K.O., and I'm here with
Delali
for a brand new episode on Melon Sugar Podcast. Guys, we always say thank you so much. We really, really appreciate you all for just tuning in, just listening to our stupid show that we always make it so exciting for you guys. And Delali, you know, we got a comment from someone regarding the abortion thing. And I think the person was kind of seconding whatever you said with what the men like. And so I posted the question as I'm coming. Okay, so here is it. So I posted, what's your view on men shaping laws on abortion? So we got a comment from Gabriel Henry, and he said the one time choice of abortion robs someone else of a lifetime choices and prevents him or her from exercising his rights. So I think for me, when I saw this thing, it was so deep for me.
You know, I think yesterday I chanced on something on YouTube. It was someone's post, a picture someone posted. It was posing a question, and the question was, if you had a chance, which of these would you want to abolish or get rid of? Yeah. And it had abortion, had feminism, it had a few other things.
Oh.
And, you know, interesting enough, I didn't feel the need to choose from any, because personally, I have no problem with abortion, because I know abortion sometimes are needed for medical reasons.
Yeah.
I know feminism has its positives or it had its positives. I know feminism began for good reasons, so I can't hate. You get it. And a few other things. I have forgotten what they were. But then all were things that's in recent times have raised a lot of issues and concerns. But personally, these are things I don't personally have issues with, because I understand the circumstances and then under which some of these things may be needed. Unlike people who just jump into these things, and for them they feel, you know what, if it's red, then it has to be red entirely. You know, there's no chance for it to change color or something like that. So for me, sometimes some people just need to, you know, analyze the situation and then think about it properly before making some of these decisions. Because some of these decisions are irreversible. You know, when you decide to abort a child, you can't reverse it. That's just it.
Yeah.
You've done it and that's the end. Mm-hmm. You see, and that's my fear. The fact that people don't really think about it properly before, you know, making some of these decisions.
Okay, so guys, that was just on the comment. So let's get back to today's episode. Today's episode is like, let me say, we are going around the world. We'll just be talking about stuff, things that are trending on Twitter, let me say on social media and the rest. So sadly, last week, the Queen died. Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II died. And interestingly, do you know, I never knew we had Queen of Ghana. I never knew.
Do you have a Queen of Ghana?
We used to have. She was the Queen of Ghana. She was it for only 3 years. So after independence, 1957 to 1960, because we were still having a parliamentary kind of thing, so she was the queen of Ghana. So after this funeral, and I was like, really? So after 1960, that's when we became a republic. So I was like, oh really? So that means that we are also in the funeral. just like how people are just making this so hilarious on Twitter. Like, people just want a funeral to just come to our parts of the world so that they can just celebrate it all. Because so one person was like, oh, now this funeral won't be celebrated, but they'll just be doing that normal stuff. This one, the lady should be the celebrator. Like, someone tweeted a 1 month mourning process before the queen is buried. And I'm like, oh. It's so hilarious.
For me, what I have, well, you know the reaction on social media has been mixed.
Yeah.
There are people who feel, you know, who feel sad that just like she's dead, and there are people who are happy.
Yeah.
And for me, yeah, you know, I can't force say anyone to, you know, feel a certain type of way.
Let me ask you. So when you heard the news, were you sad or happy?
That's the thing. I was indifferent. Like, I didn't feel sad.
I felt sad. I felt sad. But when the first tweet came that her doctors are kind of trying to see whatever. So for me, I was like, this woman is dead. But later, when the tweet finally came, I felt very sad. Then I think after an hour time, I was back to normal. Like, yeah.
For me, that's the thing. I felt the moment I saw the tweet, I didn't feel anything. I felt indifferent about it. Like, I'm not sad, neither am I happy.
Mm.
You get it? Yeah, she's dead. You know, it's for me. It's more like when any other person dies.
Yeah.
When any other random person dies. That's the thing. Because personally, listen, I hold nothing against her. Even though I feel whatever it is we and other countries are facing or going through, even as much as I feel they have a hand in it, I honestly don't feel any type of way towards her. You mm-hmm. get it? So for me, and that's my issue with the people who could not hide their joy. And
yes.
Is present on social media.
Just like Professor Uju Anya or whatever.
Exactly.
It's and so, for so me, barbaric. These people, seriously.
You see, and the funny thing is, these are people who, quote unquote, have question marks on them. These people, they don't have, these are people who don't have the moral rights. You get it?
Yeah.
Because listen, you are not a saint yourself. You get it. These people are not saints themselves. So I don't see what makes them think they have the moral impetus. They have the moral right to rejoice over another person's death under the guise that the person contributed to other people's pain or whatever.
They will rejoice because we are in a woke culture.
Exactly. And you know, the thing is, you know, when I look at all these people, even though some of them tweeted under the guise that Queen Elizabeth and the British in general, you know, because of their colonization of the other countries and whatnot, and the fact that they stole other people's resources, natural resources, gold, artifacts and whatnot. These are, most of these people are feminists, and all know how feminists feel about her. You get it? This is one person.
Yeah, I'm so scared of her.
I'm telling you, this is one person who, despite the fact that she wielded so much power and authority, never identified as a feminist.
Yeah,
you get it? And it has always been something they have always been angry about, because they're like, hey, you know, just imagine if Queen Elizabeth had one day come out to say that, you know, she identifies as a feminist or she's a feminist. Mm. You know, just imagine what it would have done to them, for their movement. So the fact that this woman stood her ground, still maintained the family values, and was conservative until the time she died, it's something that always pisses them off. And that's why they could not hide their joy, you know, like at long last. You get it? So yeah, for me, yo, I find it pathetic. I find it pathetic and sorry that, yo, for people who are living in glass house, dare to throw stones.
They are really throwing it and smashing it.
You know.
Yeah, really throwing it and smashing it. Because for me, this tweet from the professor, for me, when I saw it, I was like, whoa. Because my first reaction was, I saw it, then I was like, okay. Then later I saw in the trend that Jeff Bezos was trending. And I was like, okay, then what's the... Then I saw the woman's tweet, and I was actually the last sentence, may her pain be whatever. That's what...
It
pissed me off. Because seriously, you will never wish that for your enemy.
You know, it's quite sad for me. You know, for me, I miss all this chaos, or I miss all this recent happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then for me, my worry now is the way forward. It's going forward. Will the British be able to maintain the monarch system?
Because, listen, whether
we like it or not, see, in as much as we feel times have changed, I feel the monarch system has really worked for them.
Yes.
And I will be very hurt to see them transform, or you know, or you know, to see them switch to the democracy, even though I feel they are still under democracy, I will be a little bit disturbed if, you know, they switch to voting for the presidents or whatever it is, other countries and
because
countries.
You see, for me, I think it won't happen, because if you are to look at their history, you know that it's through the monarchy that has brought a lot of things to that country. So you could see that from the Union of Great Britain and whatever. It was a king who was, I think, ruling Scotland. I think he was the next in line for the English throne. Then when he succeeded, he later joined them together. That's what it became, like Great Britain. Yeah. And I think it has stood the times of everything. Because even when Meghan Markle, with their whole thing of leaving everything, you could see that seriously, in everything that you do, you still come back to them. You can just go to America and just, but still you also come because you need that thing. You need, you need to be known that you are still part of the royal family. So I think for them it's okay. But for the other countries where she's the head of state, that now his son, King Charles III, is like the monarch there, like, let me say, Canada, Australia, those Commonwealth realms. Like, I think for them, in the near future, we wait to see if they'll become a republic. So I think with everything, it's very cool. I think King Charles is cool with everything that he's supposed to be. Very cool. So to our listeners, you see, never, for me, that professor, if I was to be one of his family member, I would just stop communicating with her. Seriously. Stop communicating with them. Because if you're a professor, you should know something. You can't just tweet, please. You are not a grade 12 kid or something. You are not. And you need to just tweet something like that. And with the people who are tweeting everything, please, we know you have your freedom of expression and everything, but please, you guys shouldn't just dirty the waters.
You know, the waters. so you see, this is actually one of my problems with Twitter and their rules and whatever they claim to have. People have the freedom to tweet these things. Mm. However, when someone questions another person's, you know, genuinely questions someone's motive or questions someone's action, it is termed as a hate, as a hate speech. But then there's a clear example of hate speech.
Mm.
You get it? And Twitter will see nothing wrong. And you see, that's the thing. Twitter panders to a certain group of people. And for me, I find it quite unfortunate. And that's why I was happy when Elon Musk wanted to buy Twitter. Because at that time we knew at least it would bring some level of sanity. And at least bridge the gap, you know, between, you know, bridge the gap so that there wouldn't be too much partiality and pandering. Because it looks as if the Twitter panders to the left, to the left and the radical left. So these people are allowed to say whatever they want to say on Twitter. Mm-hmm. But whenever someone says, sorry, your account is suspended.
Hmm. Or even blocked. Or you blocked. Can't even tweet or do anything for like some minutes. Seriously, it's so bad. It's so bad. So for me, I think that Twitter was about, they should do something about it. Because seriously, when the woman tweeted that, it took people to report it. So I was asking, so why couldn't your AI, whatever, yes, notice that tweet and just pull that tweet down? But for you guys to wait for people to report it many times before you guys took it down, it was very bad. It was very bad.
You see,
it's very bad.
Yo, listen, the woman is already dead. May her soul rest in peace.
Yes.
I think Prince Charles has been sworn in already. I think that happened yesterday. So yeah, you know, we pray his reign is peaceful and devoid of any form of scandal or misunderstandings. I wish him a peaceful reign.
We can't say no scandal because there will be a lot with the successes, the Cambridges, the Wales people around. Hey, now we are coming to see more of, let me say, stories popping up here and there. But all I can say is, let's all wish him well. You see, it's the first time, of course, for me, watching TV yesterday, I was like, okay, so in the 50s they were doing all this. Okay, so it's very nice. So yeah, so Delali, what again do you have for us?
I think we should discuss Sarkodie's. I don't know if you've watched the interview.
Okay, so to our listeners outside, so this one is, let me say, kind of a home thing. So you can just go. So for me, seriously, when I saw that, it's the same thing with the professor. But this one, let me say, it is directed to his fans. Because how can someone just tweet something and the person is trying to say, oh, the artist is doing, saying this thing, it's not good. And then you guys will just jump on the person and just make sure the person's account is suspended. That's why for me, I'm not exactly their fan, seriously.
So for me, personally, I didn't even know the account had been suspended until this afternoon. And then when I watched the, so I have not even watched the entire interview. I've only watched the parts that is trending, where he talked about how these radio personalities criticize the artists and whatnot. And honestly, I didn't really have an issue with it. Like and even till now, I don't have an issue with it, because if if as an individual, you've not really excelled in your field of work,
yeah,
what gives you the right to criticize someone else in a person's field of work? You get it? Because if you have excelled in whatever you are doing, then you would have gained some level of respect, and also the right to at least point fingers. But then if you are stagnant and you've worked at the same place for years, or you've worked in the same field for years, and you've not really done so much for yourself, what makes you think you have the right to criticize another person's work?
I think he has the right. I think for him, he thinks he has the right. Because if you have to tell someone in a radio station that the person should be able to maybe get to choice in the UK, and you to just be comparing and that you got to be easy to come at all. Wait, you can't tell me, okay, let's just say someone from a normal hits FM or something. You can't tell me the presenter will just be working for 20 years and then you expect him to be by now to be in choice or something. Even the Nigerians, even in Lagos, when you go, you still have people there who are doing. Because the choice, seriously, let me say, the UK is only the BBC who will come for, let me say, African journalists or whatsoever. The others, the choice, the BBC Extra, and they don't want, they'll always make sure they pick someone either from the UK, let me say, the Caribbeans or something, who knows maybe music or something, or who has a touch or taste on music. So for now that maybe Afrobeat is global now, then maybe they might say, okay, let's just get someone who understand, who can maybe make a show like on Afrobeat or something. Yeah, but you can't just put it out there that someone like, for presenters should be able to by now get to choice FM in the UK. How?
I feel people are missing the point. What he was saying is, you know, for the Nigerian industry and music industry to excel, it was actually people, you know, their own people outside who
because they are many.
Aside the fact that they are many, these are people, you know, people made conscious effort to. That's the point you're missing. People made, you know, that, and that's why that's why he made a Komladumo inference where he said for him to have gone to BBC, it was Komladumo who had to. So someone had to, do something. You get it? Someone, yeah. He had to know someone there for him to be able to get that interview there. You get it? And let's be honest, when you look at these Nigerians, they have people almost everywhere.
Oh yeah, they have people everywhere. But at first, they didn't used to have people anywhere. So they make sure. Yeah. And the funny thing is, we had people everywhere, but we didn't use them.
That's the thing, and I don't know if we didn't use them or they were unwilling to help.
They were willing to help, but our artists were like, they don't want to go international. They don't want to go this thing. They were just sitting on their asses, and now they've got. The Nigerians taking over everything, and now they're like,
everything. And it's really sad. It's really sad. Because listen, sometimes on Twitter, you see some of these Nigerians say that sometimes those outside, those in the diaspora, some of them, those in the UK and the US, Dubai and whatnot, they say something where they go to the clubs, they are intentional about the whole thing. So they go, you know, they use their own money to bribe the DJs to play Nigerian songs. That's how intentional they are about these things.
Let's be
that's true.
For him, Sarkodie speaking, he won't go to any club. Then he will even give the DJ $50,000. He won't do it.
You know.
But a Nigerian, you know, and an underground person will do it. But he won't do it. So I don't know why he's trying to talk cool about it. Now it's very sad. You know, Delali, it's very sad.
It's sad.
To our listeners, it's very sad. You talk, I'm listening.
Yes, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine, and he lives at Nungwa. And we were talking about this same topic. And then he said he remembers before when this guy, Victor AD, released Waiting Again.
Yeah.
He said even before the song blew, before it blew on the airwaves, and you know, before it started playing it almost everywhere, the guy had already come to perform at a nightclub at Nungwa. When he was unknown, when no one actually knew him. So when the song blew, and then we're like, but this song, last time when we went to the club, we had, you know, the guy came to perform the song. So, and you see, and it tells you how intentional these people are. These people sometimes release songs, and you see them, whether it has blown or not, they go around nightclubs performing the song. They're intentional about everything they do. They don't just release the songs and then leave them, you know, to fate. Leave them like, you know what, let's see how this song does. They are intentional. They know they are deliberate about whatever they do. You get it? I think that's the one thing we're missing here. Artists are not really deliberate. They're not really intentional about the whole thing. Some of them release songs and then just, they don't do anything. They don't even do any promos. You know, they just leave it. They leave it to fate, waiting for the fans to pick it up and, you know, and make it hit songs or popular. Like, yo, that's not how these things work. The music industry doesn't work like that. You get it? So, in as much as yes, I agree with what Sarkodie said, but then also I feel that the artists also have to, you know, have to work a little bit harder. I feel they are too comfortable, honestly. They are too comfortable. They are too comfortable and pompous. Like they feel everything has to be done for them. And they are not treating music as a business. You get it. Most of them are not treating music as a business. That's why when you go to Nigeria, you know, you have, you know, Don Jazzy's record label Mavis. You know, they have music executives, they have artist management, road managers. You know, they have all these people. They have people who are experts in their field. People who have taken the music as a business. But here, some people have taken this as family and friends. They don't really have professionals. They don't have professionals handling their music crafts. They just have a couple of friends, you know, they can rely on. And that's the thing. You can't treat the thing like that and expect to make millions out of it. Or, you know, expect your music to travel, you know, outside our borders. So it doesn't work like that.
Delali, thank you very much for this one. So, listeners, so that was just for our own internal thing in our side of the continent. So I hope you guys just enjoyed whatever we were talking about. So to our next topic, this trending topic. So, Delali, did you hear the man who has been parenting this child and he later found out the child is for his? It was trending all over.
I saw something like that.
Yes, it was trending all over Twitter. So for me, it got me to think that, okay, so let me ask this question. So how will you react if maybe something is to happen to you? maybe true, maybe just maybe you're not married, or maybe you are with a girlfriend or someone, and that person is very, very dear to you. And you've been together for like 3 years, you've had a baby, unknowingly, the baby's not yours. How would you feel? My listeners, how you feel? So then, how you feel?
You know,
because the man was so emotional, and I think he has been able to get, he has been able to like stay strong and all that. So,
You know, these topics are, you know, these things, when I see them, I feel really bad, honestly. Because listen, see, raising a child is not a joke. It's not a joke. And let alone, you know, that's merciful. Let alone raising a child, thinking it's yours, only to later find out that it's not yours. That's painful. As, listen, forget about the money. Forget about the money. The emotions invested. Because now you are emotionally, you know, bounded to the child. aside the one we're talking about today, I read another one on Twitter, and this one was actually posted by the lady. So apparently, the child did not belong to the man. The lady was aware. The lady was aware, and then when the man got a promotion at work, so which automatically meant his salary has increased. So the lady went back to the court for what do they mean to them? The child support for the child support to be increased. And then the man requested for a DNA, and then when a DNA came out. then it showed that the child isn't the man's. And now the lady is saying that, well, she has already forgiven herself for sleeping. Listen, though, she has already forgiven herself for sleeping outside, for cheating, basically.
But how can you forgive yourself when the victim has not even forgiven you?
Listen to this. She feels the man is being petty, and that's the child has known the man to be his father for the past years. Now, how is she going to explain to the children? I'm like this woman. Hey, that the child wasn't the man's. You've been taking child support. And now when the man has found out that the child isn't his, and even this was as a result of your greediness. If the lady was not greedy and selfish, the man wouldn't have found out. But because of her selfishness and her greediness, she wanted more money. You know, and you know, you think about it, and that's what we've been saying. You know, the family laws have been structured in a way that it favors women.
Yeah.
So sometimes, even when the child isn't yours, you can't even do anything about it until you can't defend yourself until you have gone for the paternity test.
Yeah, you just have it's to really keep quiet sad. And just father someone's child.
Father someone's child until you have proof that the child isn't yours, and it's really sad. Even in circumstances and situations where you are unaware, because sometimes there have been situations and there have been instances where the women intentionally get pregnant, even when you have both agreed that you are not going to have children, you know, for the time being, they deliberately get pregnant and then trap the man so that the man will pay child support. And I feel it's really bad. It's really bad. Something has to be done about it.
It's really bad. So I think this one can be a whole topic on its own. So let's see, maybe we can just do a topic on it on something. But next week on the next episode, I want us to get more religious. More religious. Sure. So more religious. So for me, my religion is Christianity, but I don't go to church. So for our listeners out there, I go, but I'm not like those people who are like always go just you have to go before you receive the blessings. No, for me, I believe even if I don't go, I'm with God. God is in my mix. So I'm just posing this question to our listeners that next week, just tell us how you feel about your religion. Just tell us, just send us something, comment on it, just tell us so that we can just discuss on the show next week. Using the direct email, so it's melonshook@gmail.com. So you can just send us just a letter about this topic for next week. So Delali, close us. Close the day. I think the episode has been so nice. So close us.
So we've come to the end of today's episode.
Yeah.
We hope you enjoyed it. And also, you know, pick one or two about it. We also hope, you know, you share it to your friends and you get people. Get people, you put people on. You know. So basically we'll catch you same time next week. We are out.